You are listening to the chat here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. The chat is live with Linda Sims. Also, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071fmradio. Don't forget, you can download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. I have a thought for you today. The secret of being happy is accepting where you are in life and making the most out of every day. And remember, it doesn't always matter how you start, but it's how you end, how you finish a thing. So it matters how you finish every day. That way you can go to bed and sleep, have sweet sleep, okay? All right. Starting with introducing you to my guest today, Jeff Porter.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Still fighting that groggy whatever it is.
Yeah, we're going to
I'm doing much better, though. I'm not coughing as
great.
Much. It's starting to go away. I think my immune system's finally kicking in.
That's good. I'm glad you could come and be
it's
a part of
it. It's been a very
show.
Long sickness, whatever it is, or congestion, or whatever it is that I've had. It's just gone on and on and on. But it's starting to back off now a little bit more.
And the weather's been crazy, too. Like
yeah.
Warm and then cold and chilly, and it's hard to recuperate from that,
yeah, it
that
is.
Type of thing, you know. And believe it or not, half of April we had snow.
Yeah, I know. Wasn't that crazy?
Yes, it was.
Wake up in
crazy.
The morning and ugh.
Yes, it was very crazy.
Horrible.
Now Jeff is an author. He is the author of a book called Expressions of the Last Days, and we are going to talk about the last days, and we will be coming from Matthew 24,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus is sharing signs of the times with his disciples and what we should look for during those times. And also we're going to talk about the significance and the importance of the United States Embassy opening up in Jerusalem and Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. Is mm-hmm. that right, Jeff?
Yes.
That's
and they want
today, isn't
they
it?
Want our embassy to be in Jerusalem. And this is a promise that Donald Trump gave during his campaign, and so he kept his promise,
mm-hmm.
and he was actually able to move the embassy to Jerusalem. It's pretty amazing because, as we can see in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, the Armageddon and all the last day stuff, as it culminates and ends, all culminates and ends in the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Battle of Armageddon takes place in the Valley of Megiddo. I believe that the Bible isn't totally clear as to why the Battle of Armageddon takes place, except to say that in Daniel, the Antichrist begins to see that something's wrong in the East. Now, I don't think China will ever be real happy with the Antichrist because they were invaded during World War II. And they didn't take too kindly to that, so they build up a very powerful, large army. And they're not interested in having anybody telling them what to do anymore after that.
Well,
that invasion cost them a lot.
Right. What is the significance of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel?
Well, Israel should have always been the capital of Israel.
You mean Jerusalem?
Jerusalem, yes.
Okay.
Okay, because everything has taken place in Jerusalem. Jesus talked about Jerusalem a lot.
Right.
You know, and so the Temple of Solomon was found in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And the archaeologists had proven that. They dug it up, and they found all kinds of archaeological, super heavy archaeological evidence that proves that the Temple of Solomon was built in Jerusalem. And it's funny how the whole world is fighting over Jerusalem.
Yeah,
everybody wants control. Remember the Crusades back in the 1500s or so,
mm-hmm.
when the Catholics tried to take control of Jerusalem through the Crusades and on and on and on, all the wars that have taken place. and all of the hate and everything focused on Israel mm-hmm. and Jerusalem. And wouldn't you know that the Muslim mosque now that exists is right on the spot where they believe that the Temple of Solomon was. Mm-hmm. And so that, according to the Bible, the Temple of Solomon has to be rebuilt. I would say that it's probably going to be rebuilt where the Muslim mosque is now. We don't know what's going to happen to remove that mosque or move it to somewhere else or mm-hmm. an earthquake or some kind of military incident. Who knows? But I believe that's what will happen.
So we have the holy site, the most holy site
yes.
of Israel, the Muslims, and also Christians. So you have three different groups of people who are
large
contending over this area.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jerusalem is going to open. The embassy is going to be open today, from what I understand.
Really? Yeah,
yes, today.
I didn't know that.
They rushed the time. That's what I wanted to talk about today. That I think that was very significant. And as you said, the Muslim, the Temple Mount contains the Dome of the Rock.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And it stands on the site and surrounds foundation stone where Muhammad ascended to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other mosque is called Al-Aqsa.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't pronounce it.
Okay. It's the farthest mosque. I don't know. It farthest mosque must mean distance away from that holy site. And this is where they believe the Prophet Muhammad prayed before ascending to heaven.
Yep.
Now, I know there's some controversy about whether Muhammad's in heaven or not, but that's another day, another subject. But Jerusalem, Israel, the Jewish temple, like you said, the Mount, was built by King Solomon, and Babylonians destroyed that.
Right.
So they built another one, right?
Yep.
And then that was destroyed by the Romans.
Right.
Right?
And that was the last one.
That was the last one. Okay. The Western Wall where the Jews pray. The Western Wall where we see them bowing and they pray there. So that's their most holy point of their city, of Israel, is Jerusalem. And the Christians, like you said, they play a key role in the life of Jesus, the church. Of the Sepulchre is a holy site in Christianity, believed to be the very spot where Jesus was crucified and resurrected. So, as you are looking in your Bible in Matthew 24, and it says, I don't know if it's in that chapter or not, but it says that Jerusalem would be a melting pot, right? Is that the melting pot, or is it a stone in everybody's heel? How is that?
Well, what Scripture is trying to get across to us is, first of all, the world is offended by the presence of the Jews. Mm-hmm. And so it is a hot spot. It is a place where attention is often, quite often, focused on. I remember as a kid, you'd sit there and watch these, like the Seven-Day War.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about that, how Israel suddenly took possession of that little place of land. But now, as we reel towards the end, I should say, real towards the new day that is coming.
A cup of trembling, that's it.
There you go, yeah, a cup of trembling.
A cup of trembling, yeah.
Okay. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no, never shall be."
So you think that this thing going on in Jerusalem is a sign?
Yes, I do, and I believe that it's going to infuriate the Muslim world, of course. Well, Islam is going to stir up.
You know, when they had the treaty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump tore up the treaty. Have you been watching the news? They're over there having fits now. I mean...
Already.
thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims are throwing bombs, and they're out in the middle of the streets, and they are really having a fit over there right now.
Yeah, I knew they would.
Yes, right.
I think everybody did.
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, President Trump didn't like the Iranian agreement that...
our last president.
Yeah.
And some nations came together. Well, the United Nations, I think they were a part of that, too, that came together and signed that treaty where they were not supposed to be able to actually form or make a atom bomb, right? That's what this was supposed
I don't,
to be.
You know, I don't know what that treaty says.
I think it was.
I don't know exactly what it says. I heard a lot of military people and a lot of people in Washington that did not like that treaty at all. And so he apparently saw stuff in there he didn't like. Mm-hmm. But regardless of what any politician does, Ezekiel 38 is going to take place, whereas Iran, Iraq, and Russia will get together and attack Israel. And it'll be to their destruction, because God will rain fire and brimstone down on that army and just totally destroy it. And I don't know if that's... I've often wondered, I've hoped that incident would take place before the tribulation starts, but it could be during the tribulation. It doesn't specify in the Bible. So at that time, Islam will lose its power, because it just... they won't have enough military power to have a say anymore. But that's okay, because when the Antichrist system rises up, as in Revelation 13, it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 10 crowns. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That will be the new government. And that will be our focus as Christians, as like, okay, we've got a new world here. And it's not a good one. It's a major dictatorship, and it's going to be headed up by the Antichrist. And so we have got to allow God to take us through training right now to be able to take a strong stand during that time, mm-hmm. as Christians in other countries have had to do for a long, long time. We're going to have to stand up and say, yes, I am a Christian. No, I will not compromise with the new government.
Right.
And so that's not going to be easy.
And that's the government of the Antichrist.
Right.
That Christians will have the opportunity to say, well, we will follow you or we will not follow you. And
right.
Those who say they will not follow you, what is the consequence?
Well, you got two problems. You got, first of all, in the beginning of the tribulation, I agree with those who say that the Great Tribulation will last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in the first 3.5 years, you're going to have mostly for a problem the One World Church, which has become an agreement between all religions who do not follow Christ, including the Christian churches who have decided to give up the true Christ and are following a false Christ, will enter into that One World Church. And they will put pressure on Christians, to the true believers, to give up their faith and follow the One World Church. And that is not a good idea, because, yes, they will be killing Christians, as it says in Revelation 17, that this woman, this strange woman that rides on top of the beast, in other words, she's riding on the power of the Antichrist system, and she's got in her hand the cup of the blood of true believers, the blood of the saints. And she is just reveling, and she's like very, very rich and wealthy, and she's got the riches and wealth of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the Antichrist system will hate her, because she has some resemblance of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk about God.
Right.
And so the Antichrist is going to say, I don't want somebody around that's got a ton of power that's talking about God. I'm God.
Hmm.
And so the ten-headed government will also hate this not nasty, no-scruples woman.
And that's the abomination of desolation, Antichrist setting Antichrist in the holy place, is. Declaring that he is God, right?
Right. And so the 10-headed government probably be the 7-headed government by then, because he destroys 3 of them. But they all get together and they say, they shall hate thee, what she is. That word, am I allowed to say that word?
Well, I mean, it's in the Bible.
They shall hate the whore?
The great whore, yeah.
And and make her desolate and eat her flesh and burn her with fire, which I believe, you know, it took me a while to understand this. I said, well, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, they're going to actually roast these people over a pit and eat them or what? But what it's really saying is that this has become a fleshly, earthly type of religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's the type of religion is man trying to reach up to God. In true Christianity, God has reached down to us.
Right, right.
And died on the cross so we can have a relationship with him. They want to destroy that.
Right.
And they're not able to, and they get more and more frustrated as time goes on. So the 10-headed government gets together and they say, I've had enough of these two-faced, backstabbing hypocrites of whatever they are.
Right.
They're on the one hand, they're holding hands. I saw a sign that said, you can't walk with God and hold hands with the devil at the same time. I thought that was a good way of putting it, because that is exactly what they'll be doing. They will be walking with the Antichrist and yet trying and holding hands with him and still trying to hang on to God at the same time. And God says, no, this is not going to work, you know. And he only lets him get away with it for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Then he does what Hitler did, what he did to the Jews. And what he also tried to destroy the Christian church. A lot of people don't know that, but Hitler did try to completely destroy the Christian church in Germany. And what they would do is they'd send in the SS or some kind of super troopers in, and they would get the people out of their house, and then they would take everything out of the house that was of any value, throw it in their trucks, keep that, and then they would shoot the people, and then they would burn down the house and their cars and stuff. That's, I believe, what's going to happen.
Do you believe that this is the beginning of World War III?
Oh, absolutely. Now, that will all lead up to Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo.
What's going on now? Jerusalem being made the capital of
Israel. It's all leading.
It's all leading
to the second coming of Christ.
World War III.
Yes. And what Jesus will do, as far as I can tell in Scripture, he says, unless those days be shortened, there would be no flesh saved.
Right.
But for the elect's sake,
right,
he's going to intervene and stop the Battle of Armageddon before it destroys the whole world,
right,
and set up his kingdom. And then we will have the first resurrection.
Wow.
And that will be the resurrection of true believers.
Okay.
It's these people who are taking the easy road, you know, and they're doing it now. And you can see it. Now, I can't see it in other religions, but I can certainly see it, what's going on in Christianity.
Right.
I was going to talk about Walter Chantry. He was an evangelist. I don't know what's become of him. Keep meaning to look him up, Google him, find out what's happened to him. But he was an evangelist back in the 1970s. And he was having trouble with the main denominations clear back to then.
Right.
He was saying, you know, the main part of the leaders of the denomination, I don't know if he was what denomination he was, but he said he would get letters from them and messages from them saying, hey, you got to cool it about telling people about sin all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you got to start saying mistakes or God understands your sin or something, you know. Can't be convicting people of sin all the time like this. It's running people out of the church, which sometimes it does.
Well,
and so they started watering down the gospel clear back then.
But didn't Christ come and deal with our sin?
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
You see, okay. But first you got to be convicted that you did sin.
Right. Okay.
And that's why I was giving that parable. I was saying that Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
I have talked to people that believe they have never sinned.
True.
And I think that a lot of people don't say that, but they believe that.
Mm-hmm. I'm a good person.
I'm a good person. Yeah. I'm going to heaven because I'm just good.
Right, and I help other people. And
right, and that's a really good way of ending up in hell. Because we don't get there by being a good person.
Right.
And doing good works. And I think what happened was, you know, we have this tendency as human beings to want a gospel of works because it seems to make sense.
Right.
You know, in other words, I remember this.
They say, well, we must have to do something besides just believing that Christ came and died for our sins.
For our initial salvation, no. We can't do anything. We have nothing to eradicate sin, and only Christ can eradicate the sin that's in us.
But you have to be baptized and speak in tongues and all those things, too.
No. Not to get saved. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you are saved, and by faith, and not by works. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I've heard people talk about tithing like it's almost more important than salvation. And I've heard people talk about being baptized or being baptized in the Holy Spirit even, as if it were more important than salvation. Nothing's more important than accepting Jesus into your heart and being born again. And it's up to you to listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and Him begin to open you up. Like I said, I surrender all. And you go. You don't do that right away. You know, as a Christian, a baby Christian, you think you know everything. But you find out later on that it's like Pilgrim's Progress. That's a good book for somebody to read.
Right. So you're saying, you're telling not just our listening audience, but this is what you believe from reading the scriptures and your many, many years of studying, that what's going on now is leading up to Armageddon, which is
eventually
World War III.
Yep.
Is happening now as we speak because of the decision to make
the Jesus, pieces of the puzzle right, are falling in place.
We're coming together.
Right.
You know, I got about 6 puzzles for Christmas. I haven't even started to put them together. But anyway.
Oh, I can't stand those things. They make me crazy.
Yeah. And remember when Christ walked to earth, he told his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem. And that was his last stop, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was his last stop.
Yeah.
And that's where he was crucified. And
go get me a donkey.
Yeah. And he rode that donkey as king.
Yeah. And they waved the palms, but
yeah,
they didn't wave them later on.
No, they didn't. They said,
same crowd condemned
same
him.
Crowd. Same
isn't
crowd.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord.
I remember telling a friend of mine about false prophets, especially on TV. And he eventually, he listened, he didn't listen too good at first, and then he accepted it. Then later on, he rejected it and turned on me.
Mm-hmm.
And really bad, too. It was really bad.
Right.
And I thought about the Lord Jesus back then. You know, our Lord and Savior, he can't compromise the gospel. Be impossible. Because he is the Lord. And I said, you know, I said to my friend there, I said, I cannot compromise the truth of the gospel.
Right.
If you decide to follow after these false prophets and you believe what they said, then you can go your own way. Mm-hmm. The door swings both ways, you know.
True.
Don't let it hit you on the rear end on the way out.
True. You know? A lot of people don't take the time to develop their own relationship with
right.
Christ. And you know, read the Bible, read the scriptures, meditate on the word of God where it will speak to you. You know, a lot of people
yes.
say, God doesn't speak to people, but
yes,
the
does.
Words do speak to you. And you have to believe that that Bible is real and it is living.
Yes.
And it is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's right.
Piercing to the
Amen.
Dividing of soul and spirit.
Preach it.
You know
Amen.
What I'm saying? Down
Amen.
To the marrow of the bone. And discern the thoughts and intent of the heart.
Yes.
The word does. All by yes. itself.
And know? Well, I think we are going to run into, I'll tell you what, you know, people preach pre-tribulation rapture, which I disagree with. I think we're going to have to face the tribulation. And a lot of people really get hateful when I say that. They get, in fact, I had a guy not too long ago, I hate to say it, but he was in a church at the time. He said, "So what did you talk about on the radio last time I was on?" He's really mad about me being on the radio.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. And I said, I talked about the Yom Kippur War, mm-hmm. and some of the miracles that took place during that time.
Right.
And he has all these wars memorized.
Oh,
so
okay.
He teaches Bible prophecy, you know. But he is jealous of me being on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I keep forgetting that when I run into him to just kind of scoot off in another direction and go away, because he says things that just really stab.
Wow.
You know, and so he said, do you know about this war? You know about that war? Well, I don't have all those wars memorized. I'm sorry, but I don't.
Right.
I have to look up stuff like other people. And he just really tried to make me look stupid.
Right.
You know. But the problem is, to see, I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in pre-tribulation rapture. And people just absolutely. Now, we as Christians, we should be allowed to disagree about peripheral issues. In other words, I might be wrong about that, but we still have the First Amendment, which says that I'm allowed to believe that.
Yeah,
I'm allowed
freedom.
To talk about that.
Yes, yes.
And without being molested.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
But there are people that call themselves Christians that are just plain mean. You know, and I have people tell me that, unsaved people say, "I don't go to church because Christians are so mean and hateful." Because if you don't fit into their perfect little shoebox, you don't fit into their agenda, mm-hmm. follow their agenda, then you're a heathen and you're a no good, you know, worse than a cockroach or something.
Right.
So that's okay, though. I still believe what I believe, and I still think that a lot of people got mad at me when I first when I was first talking about my book. I handed them out at a meeting, and they don't want to believe we're in the last days.
Of course not, because that would mean that maybe I need to pay more attention to how I live my life.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing, you know,
they just kind of,
we
want things business as usual.
Right, right.
So
right.
We can go out and be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage.
And that's one of the signs, isn't it?
Yep.
People will go on like there's no urgency. We'll keep on having parties and giving away our children in marriage and buying and selling, you know. It won't
look
stop.
The way people talk on Facebook. Oh, here's my little doggy. You know, that's okay, but that's all they ever talk about is stuff like that. Here's my doggy. He's got his head stuck in the mixer bowl or something.
So you're
know?
Saying we should be more concerned about Matthew 24 and what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, and you know, J.C. talked about that. He said, "You people are so shallow mm-hmm. on Facebook. Everything's perfectly all right until you mention some depth of Christ."
Right.
And then you get all huffy and won't even talk to that person.
Right.
There's something seriously wrong here.
Well, no one wants to be told they're wrong or they're doing the wrong thing, they're going the wrong way.
Right.
You know, or you believe in the wrong, you're not really.
They're just being shallow.
Right, being shallow. Right.
And
putting it too, I guess.
They're just shallow.
Yeah.
And they don't want to pay attention to. They don't want to pay attention to what is truly important in the gospel. That's why they think I'm a doomsday guy.
Right, right. But this is something people don't really pay attention to. I think this is Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and people are lackadaisical because they're listening to. Maybe too many people, maybe too many evangelicals, and everybody's not on the same page, like you said.
But how many times, you know, I hear sermons, and that was okay at one time, you know, but preachers will get up in the pulpit and they'll go, "I don't want to hear all this negativity that we're in the last days and we're going to have to face all kinds of tribulation and hardship." You know, that's just negative to me. You know, we got to go out there and believe that God's going to give us a good job and God's going to give us the right wife and he's going to give us a couple of kids and a nice car. I don't believe all this negative, terrible stuff. And I sit there and think, now, people in third world countries, what would they have to say to you? Mm-hmm. They get up in the morning and they are running from a bunch of marauders who kill Christians just for fun.
Bombs.
Yeah.
In their neighborhoods, you know.
And I'll never forget this incident that I read about in Blood of the Martyrs, I think it was, or Voice of the Martyrs. This guy was appointed as their pastor, and he had gone down the road for some reason, and all the Christians were in this building. Didn't look like a church to me. It looked like a burnout shack or something, but that's all they had. Mm-hmm. And as he was coming back, you heard a bunch of pops. He knew what it was, you know, it was a bunch of AK-47s going off. And he knew, and then they stopped. He knew that he jumped in the ditch, and they didn't see him as they went by. But he went in there. Everybody was dead
right.
when he went in there. Oh, I'm sorry, but that might be negative.
Right.
But that is the truth. Our Christian brothers and sisters in other countries are suffering torture and death and losing their homes and running and being refugees
yes.
all day long, every day. And they're facing wars where they have to run. They have to go somewhere and try to find some food. And so what the prosperity message, the positive confession message, it works in America. Because people want, that's what they want to hear.
Right.
But it is not the truth worldwide. And if it's not the truth worldwide, it's not the truth.
Okay.
I think they ought to take some of these preachers and put them there. Say, okay, you preach the gospel in the middle of, Brazil or something, or some of these Chile, where they absolutely hate the gospel, or some of these Asian countries. Where they will just kill you instantly for even mentioning Christ.
And here's another sign of the end time. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many
yes.
shall wax cold. When we talk about the love of many, you're talking about those who believe in the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, right?
They did at one time.
They did at one time. And the love have moved away from the things of God, right?
Right, because they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for they shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now, other translations say apostasy.
Yeah, the love of many waxing cold.
And mm-hmm. that man of sin will be revealed.
Ooh.
The son of perdition, the Antichrist.
The Antichrist, which people think that the church will be gone when he appears, but according to 2 Thessalonians,
there's no mention of any. The apostles don't even mention any kind of taking out. Where is the rapture? You know, they point out certain scriptures in here. They certainly don't prove the rapture by any means.
Mm-hmm.
I had people quote stuff to me, but it doesn't prove that they're the only one. Well, let me just get off of that. It's just so frustrating.
False prophets.
Right.
False teachers.
And what are they telling people?
Things, you know, where you're not, the church is going to be gone. They're not going to be here. And people believe because they're in that church and they go to church, whether they have received Christ or not. Like you said, maybe their love has even waxed cold, but they're still in that church.
Yes.
You know? But yes. They're not, their body is there, but they're not in it.
And they're not even slightly, you know, if you notice, they play their religious games. They're not even slightly interested in winning souls anymore.
Because, see, like they say, I've heard people say, well, a woman can check out on her husband at any time. But they're still together in the same house, but she's already checked out.
Yeah.
Before it's even yeah. to the divorce. You know, so people can be in the church and have already checked out.
Yeah, no kidding. And those are the ones that you run into that meanness.
Yeah.
They've got just enough knowledge of the gospel to be dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Definitely. But it says, he that shall endure to the end
of
what shall be saved. He that endures to the end of what?
Well, you know what they would say is he endures to the end and then they're raptured. In other words, you know, they only have to endure up to the time that they're raptured.
Tribulation starts.
Yeah.
We're out of here. We're not going to be here for that.
And they say, why would God treat us like that? Why does God allow those Christians in other countries to be treated like that? because that's what we're called to do, is to take a strong stand for Christ. And we're going to face some persecution.
As he was persecuted, we shall be too. Right?
I don't think he said, you know, they said, well, God's not, we're not going to have to face the wrath of Christ during the book of Revelation. I think God can protect us from, you know, when he sends down fire and brimstone and all that stuff. He can protect you from that.
Plus, they say that's the wrath of Satan. I've heard that too.
Yeah. God does send his wrath, just like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right, he does.
Then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There's no mention of any rapture as you go through Matthew 24 until you come towards the end, where he returns, when you've got your second return there.
And that's verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation.
After the tribulation.
Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes on earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Well, the people that believe in the rapture have always quoted this, where two will be in the field and one be taken and the other left. So it's after the tribulation that Jesus does this.
You know, also the word taken means killed or destroyed.
It can be, I'm sure.
Yeah, so are we looking at the word taken as a good thing, or should we be looking at it another way? You know, one will be killed and one will be left. And they're saying that one will be taken up in the rapture and one will be left.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that the word take also meant killing or death.
Then shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Now, obviously, he hasn't given two second comings. This is
one second coming. This is one second coming.
There's not two in here. So, I really have a hard time with the pre-tribulation rapture stuff. Everything, it seems like in America, you know, everything has to do with your personal comfort. You know, let's make a Christianity that's comfortable.
Right, and then verse 34 says, truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. So that's also saying that there will not be a rapture.
Right.
Until all these things be fulfilled.
I think Satan made up the pre-tribulation rapture. I think it was 1840 that some lady had a vision. I wish I had that information with me right now, but I don't think I do. And what some preachers who don't believe in pre-tribulation rapture had pointed out, that the apostles did not emphasize no rapture. You know, so it was really completely unknown to the church until the 1800s. Nobody probably even talked about it.
Probably not. But we're supposed to watch and pray. Verse 24:33 says, so likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near,
even at the doors.
So we're watching all these things. Now we're watching Jerusalem being pronounced as the capital of Israel. You got three different sects of people fighting over this land.
Yeah.
You know, you got the Muslims or the Arabs. They don't want Jerusalem there because they don't believe they belong there. That's why they don't want them there.
They don't believe Israel should exist.
Right, right.
That's why they keep trying to destroy it to their own undoing.
Right. Then you have United States partnering with Israel to try to help them stay there and maintain that land.
I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you.
Yes, that's true.
Well, I think things will change as time goes on, and the United States will no longer be in favor of Israel because of economic collapse. I don't think they can be during an economic collapse. But they'll take sides with whoever will make them comfortable again.
Right.
Whoever they think will make them comfortable again, and that will be part of the big Antichrist government, the ten-headed government in Revelation 13.
Right, right.
And so you don't want to join up with the One World Church. That's the first thing. In the first 3.5 years, these people will be convinced, and Jesus said that they will kill you thinking that they're doing God a service. Well, of course they'll think that, because right. they think they're right with God, and it's anybody that opposes their agenda deserves to be eliminated.
Right.
You know, and so they will do that. And just like they did, just like the Jews and the Christians during Hitler's time. And I think that is a good place to look into. If you're interested in seeing how the Antichrist is going to act, read a book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about how Hitler got involved in these movements in Germany and how he rose to power.
Right.
Well, the reason he rose to power is because Germany was having serious economic problems due to the sanctions that the Allies had put on them. And so the German people were just sick of it, which Europe, the world could have avoided World War II just by simply lifting the sanctions that they had on Germany. They should have forgave Germany. You don't go on hating a country even after a war forever and ever, thinking that, you know, this is going to prevent another war, because keeping those sanctions on Germany is what started the whole thing to begin with. And so they were willing to follow a man that was full of hate, because
right.
they were full of hate themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of it. You know, the Antichrist is not going to be, like I said in my book, the Antichrist is not going to come along with a big sign hanging on him saying, "I am the beast.
I'm the beast.
I'm the beast. Everybody look over here," you know.
Well, like you said earlier, he don't even know he's the beast yet.
No.
Just
I don't think
Judas
he
Judas didn't know that he
he's
was
He's probably
the one.
Starting to get the idea by now, I would think.
But Judas didn't know.
No.
Until Satan entered him, and that was right there at the table at the Last Supper. You know, so I don't think the Antichrist knows either, but I do want to read this. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord do come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh."
The right. world will not be aware that Jesus is about to return. The unsaved world out there.
Because they're not watching.
No.
They're not praying.
They have never accepted Christ into their heart, and so they're blind and deaf to the gospel's message. And so they don't believe that there is a real Jesus who's going to really return to the earth, because they haven't seen his reality in their life.
Right.
You know. You ever, sometimes, you know, you'd be sitting there talking to people, maybe even a group of people, and you know they're not saved. And you sit there and listen to the way they talk.
Right.
They're reasoning. Everything is by human reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is by, we're going to make this better and that better by our own fleshly power.
Right.
And all that, and you sit there and realize, my gosh, man, God come along, hit them on the head with a saucepan, and they still wouldn't know anything.
Right.
You know?
Right. But I do know that we are in a time, in an era, that things are hastening. That means getting faster. The turn of events are going on. Whether you believe
yes.
these things are true or whether you believe that they're not true. Not saying that we're right in what we're saying, but, you know, sometimes we believe these things and sometimes we may not, and we're just going by the scripture. And I'm sure some of you may say, well, you know, I don't believe that, and that you're right.
Yeah.
You know, we have freedom of opinion. Even God says, you know, he doesn't make us do anything, you know.
No.
We have free will.
That's right.
Right, we have free will. We have freedom of speech. We live in the United States, and like my guest, Jeff Porter, has said, there are Christians suffering and being persecuted every day for their faith and for their religion.
That's right.
And that they believe in Christ and his soon return. But it does say, in a day that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I always wondered, if we're going to be raptured up, why is he preparing us to last till the end?
Well, you know, I don't know if some of these Christians that believe in pre-tribulation rapture, if they're going through anything.
They don't.
Because they don't seem to.
No, they don't.
You know, they seem to always have, they don't always have it made, but it seems like they've always got plenty of money and everything just goes good for them. Satan is not opposing them.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the true Christians, you know, and then they could turn around and point their finger, that's why you're not tithing and you don't believe like we do, that's why you're suffering. You know.
Well,
that, and I had a preacher get up and just rant and rave about tithing not too long ago. As if, almost as if it was as important as salvation.
But you know, yeah. You can tithe and you can give all your money to, we already know it belongs to Christ.
Yeah.
You can give all your money, but you can't buy your way into heaven.
Well, they made it sound like you could.
I know, but you can't.
God will open the windows of heaven.
No, you can't.
Pour out a blessing on you.
No, you can't.
Rebuke the devourer.
Time to go. Thank you for listening.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics.